Welcome to Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights, a podcast by coaches for coaches. Our guests share their hard-won wisdom to help you grow your coaching business and create a life of success. So get ready to unlock the blueprints to your success. Hey everyone, welcome to our latest episode. I'm thrilled to have you here, and I'm also thrilled to have Heather Sutherland with us. She is a health coach, so I can't wait to hear more about what she does. So welcome to the show, Heather. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. I'm excited to be here and to share.
Great. So let's start with your journey. What is your story? How did you become a health coach? Because you probably didn't start out that way, I'm guessing.
No, I did not. I actually was a dietitian and a diabetic educator, and I got sick at the age of 30 and was totally disabled by the age of 35. It was my journey through illness and trying to figure out what was wrong ultimately that led me to health coaching school about 6-7 years ago when I was really sick, hoping I'd find answers in health coaching school. And I didn't find the answers in health coaching school. I actually found the answers through another health coach who reached out to me and said, I think you might have mold toxicity or chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And I had already had undiagnosed Lyme for 22 years. And I was pretty sick in health coaching school, but she was right. The missing piece of my puzzle of fully healing from Lyme was mold. And I had developed chronic inflammatory response syndrome, which is really just the toxic bucket in the body overflowing and creating a cytokine storm in the body, very similar to COVID. And it can present so, so differently in each person because everyone in my household had SIRS or chronic inflammatory, but I was the sickest, I think, because of the Lyme piece and the undiagnosed Lyme. I was totally disabled by it, where my husband and my son were functional, just not healthy, if that makes sense.
So was it in your house?
I learned once I found out I had mold toxicity, and I learned my childhood bedroom had Stachybotrys. And as a little girl at 3 years old, I had asthma. And the symptoms just from there progressed to irritable bowel. And by the time I was 30, I was labeled with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, severe neuropathy, had a spinal cord stimulator implanted in my spine because I had so much trouble walking. And part of what led me to the West Coast from the East Coast was I couldn't walk or stand or do the steps. And we wanted an affordable one-story home in a climate that might be safer for me where there wasn't snow. And we had already treated Lyme and I had improved, but I still had trouble walking and standing. I had severe neuropathy. And I really, looking back, realized how much got missed on my healing journey with wonderful, caring practitioners, but nobody understood how to look at the entire picture, right? There's a lot of focus on just killing Lyme or just binding toxins, but nobody was looking at changing the internal terrain. Everything played a role in my getting better. It was all important, but so much was sadly missed in the process working with practitioners that I went off on my own away from my practitioners and found how to use food to detox, how to use food to starve pathogens, which for me was huge, opening up drainage pathways before detoxing or killing. A lot of things that get missed in the Lyme community, in the mold and SIRS community, where people often do just go in and kill or bind, and they don't look at changing the internal terrain of the body so that the body is getting rid of stuff. And my body today, I'm 60 years old. I got sick at 30. I don't have Lyme. I don't have mold. I don't have SIRS, but my body is still, I'm in the basement of my body still releasing toxins, but they're being released on their own and pathogens are dying on their own without intentionally having to always take things to kill. And that's what a lot of people aren't doing. We're not creating that internal environment that the body can do what it was designed to do and the body can get rid of what doesn't belong. Yeah.
That's amazing. So can you walk and everything now? Are you good?
Yeah, I can walk. I can hike. I have been in a phase of my body's getting rid of the very last bit of junk and it's been very honestly intense. It's been a little odd to no longer be sick, but to be intensely letting go of things that don't belong. So I've had a little bit more time where I've been home just because it knocks my socks off how deeply my body's letting go. But I can walk, I can hike, I can do all of those things that I couldn't do. If you had met me 6 years ago, I had assistive devices to get around. And very early on, 6 months out, using the approach I use with clients, I no longer needed the assistive devices. But it's a process, right? It's work. It's a process getting better and peeling away those layers of health that need to be addressed.
That's fantastic. Now, was it all nutrition or was it other things?
No, nutrition was a huge missing piece that I see missed. I would say nutrition was 75% of it for me, but I definitely had to do anti-parasitic herbs. I had Bartonella undiagnosed with the Lyme for 22 years, so really severe neuropathy between the two and other parasites and pathogens. So I did some very serious herbal anti-parasitics and a few prescriptions. I used binders later on in the journey. The beginning of my journey was solely food. But those were like my biggest pieces. Everybody's a little different what they have to do on the journey. Lymph massage. It's been a long journey healing. I'm 10 years out from the diagnosis almost of Lyme, 9 or 10 years out from the diagnosis of Lyme, 5 years out from finding out the mold and SIRS piece. And I don't have either, but I'm like, there's still some layers of healing going on. The last layers is my understanding.
We're so grateful that you're healthy now, Heather. So tell us a little bit about your coaching and how that is part of your coaching.
Yeah, I love coming alongside people and helping people with these missing pieces that are often missed with their practitioners. And so usually I'm fine-tuning whatever they're doing with their doctor or their naturopath, and also just helping them understand the process of healing and educate them about what their body's doing. Because a lot of times we panic when we're healing if we have a symptom. And we think something's wrong, and symptoms are really a very natural part of the healing process. Because when you have Lyme, mold, SIRS, chronic illnesses, these toxins and pathogens have to leave the body, and they do create inflammation. And that inflammation is what creates symptoms even as they're leaving. So the more the body is properly supported, the drainage pathways, liver, lymph, bowels, gallbladder, kidneys are supported, the more we have the right a binder on board, if a lot is leaving, can really decrease people's symptoms. And just having somebody who's walked through it and can recognize, like, this is normal, and help them understand the role they can play in calming their nervous system, in supporting their body, and just leaning in to the process of healing. Because it can be when you're older. I'm 60, so the older people are, it's a little bit more of a roller coaster ride than if somebody's 30 years old or 40 years old dealing with a chronic illness, because the toxic bucket is not as full and we're more resilient, I find, with clients. The kids I work with get better the quickest compared to the older people are. It's a little more intense, so people have to be motivated and ready to go on the journey, and it looks so different for each person. I was sick a long time, so my journey is much more intense than most of the people that I work with. But if somebody's been sick for 25 years, there's a lot more to peel away than if you've been sick for 2 or 3.
So when do people come to you when they've tried like traditional medicines and that hasn't worked? Is it specific symptoms? Can you tell me a little more about that?
A lot of my clients come to me when they've reached the end of their rope with the doctors who are trained in mold and Lyme and SIRS. A lot of the people I'm seeing, the doctors are missing pieces. It's not that they're not doing a good job. They don't have the time. That's not their focus. That may not even be their training sometimes, to focus on nervous system work, mindset, to focus on drainage pathways, and to be able to pick the right binder at the right dose. So a lot of times it's other clients who are referring people, or people find me on social media from my story and they just resonate with my story.
It was interesting. I heard you say mindset, and that's not something I heard you say up until now, but I should think that plays a big part of it.
Yeah, I always know when I have symptoms, nothing's wrong. It's a, like today, I'm drenched in sweat. I am detoxing the deepest I've ever detoxed. Right before I got on the call, I thought, oh, this is not the time to be detoxing like this. But there's nothing wrong. My body's doing what I need it to do. And so helping people understand that, and then how to have joy and contentment, and how to live within the boundaries of the season you're in. So it looks different for each client what they're struggling with. But when somebody's chronically ill and healing, there's a lot of struggle, mental struggle, emotional struggle, and helping people shift how they think about it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, I should think so. From feeling not so great, and like you said, so sweating and things, to understanding, okay, that's good. That's things working and working themselves out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic. I'm so grateful that you're well and that you are turning around and helping other people. I'm fascinated by the fact that you could actually get through school, coaching school, while you were unwell.
I really wish it was the Lord. I look back, I was in a zero gravity chair. I could not sit upright when I went to health coaching school. That's how inflamed I was. My vertebrae would go out of alignment. I don't know, helping other people gave me purpose in my journey. There are seasons where the journey was intense, where I've had to see less clients and just be kind and gracious to myself in the process. But it really has given me purpose and enabled me not to. I don't want to say not to ever focus on my symptoms, but to know that it was being used for good to help other. And there was a purpose in my pain. If somebody who's been through it, just sees things differently than somebody going to a doctor who treats Lyme, who's never had Lyme symptoms. So yeah, it's just as much as I haven't enjoyed all the process, it's been very valuable to be able to better relate to my clients and really understand because I've walked through it.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about maybe one or two clients that you worked with and where they were in their journey when they came to you, and then where they are now.
One of my first early on clients, when I was learning what to do with clients, had Lyme disease. Her name was Gina, and she was really frustrated, and she had Bartonella and had been treating for years and years. And when she found me, she was living in mold. And for a long time, she didn't want to go there. She didn't want to address that. Most of people who find me, they're in water damage and they don't know it. And because you don't, water damage, you often do not see and smell. If you see and smell it, it's not good. And she was home full time, disabled. And now she's no longer sick with active Lyme or mold or SIRS. And she went back to, I think she was volunteering part time as a teacher. But there's still layers. She's close to my age. So still layers she's peeling away, but she's not sick anymore. And she's been able to return to normal activities.
How did she find out that there was mold?
So I recommended she test. It depends on what they're telling me. If there's signs of water damage, then I don't start with this test. But if there's no visible signs of water damage, I usually recommend a dust cloth test, either an ERMI or an EMA dust cloth test. The ERMI tests for th 36 molds, 29 are toxic. And it's a do-it-yourself test where you take a sample of dust throughout the house and you send it off. I usually use EnviroBiomics, and I can give you that link if you want to put in the chat. Or we do an EMA, which tests for 10 molds and it tests for 50 mycotoxins. It's really the mycotoxins from mold that make us sick and the other byproducts that mold creates, the other toxins. If I suspect somebody's had a remediation that wasn't done properly, I might want to do a test for mycotoxins in the air or in a dust cloth. And so every test has a pro and a con, and there's no perfect test out there. My house, I'm in a new build in the desert in Arizona. And because I was so sick and I had mold toxicity and SIRS, they told me to test the house and I did not. And a friend came over who was healing from mold. She came in my house and within hours she was sick. And she said, Heather, it's your house. And people who've been exposed to mold and are healing, we react. And I thought, oh, I know what this means. I need to test. My doctor told me to test, but I'm like, I'm in a new house. It was brand new. So we tested, and we did have some toxic molds in our new build, and it was deemed it was from building material. We had inspectors and all the things done, but I can handle the level. It's a low level of toxic mold, and I cannot handle moderate or high level. As soon as I go into someone's home at a higher level, I actually react and I have symptoms within minutes. But the level that's in my home, and again, it's giving you a picture, it's a data point in time. So there's, like I said, pros and cons to every test. So how a person is feeling in a house is really important. There are many people who told us to leave our house. And I'm like, I'm looking at people's scores all the time. And my scores were two-thirds lower than everybody I was working with. And I was playing pickleball and I was doing things I hadn't done in years. I'm like, I'm not. And I consulted some people and there were very different opinions, but I felt like I'm going to stay in the house. And my husband and I healed in this home, but there is a room in the house where I have deemed there is building material mold. And I actually just did an air mycotoxin test and confirmed that room there is mycotoxins. It's not a room I'm usually in, it's our guest room. And I've had people react, but I do not react in that room personally. So it really depends on people's exposure and how toxic they are in their My clients who've been exposed at really high levels of toxic mold are super reactive even to low levels. But I think I was exposed at a low level most of my life. So I only seem to react at this moderate level.
Wow. Yeah, I know my neighbors had their kitchen redone and they redid it themselves. Her husband was a DIY person. And then when the new people bought their home, they found out that there was tons of water damage. Like they just saw something and then they had to pull out half of it right where the washer and dryer were because water just does so much damage.
It's sadly so common for anybody who's listening. If you've got chronic health issues, autoimmune diseases, a long list of labels, or even just a few, asthma, insomnia, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, Lyme, POTS, you name it, fibromyalgia, test your home for mold. You could have also been exposed previously from schools and colleges. And a lot of times we're not even aware. And it's not hard to test the body, it's the same as testing a home. There's pros and cons to every test that you're doing. So no test is perfect for the home or the body, but it gives us information to help verify what's going on. But 50% of the homes in the US have a history of water damage. And I think that's probably a low estimate, to be honest, but that's what the research shows. So that's a lot.
Okay, quick pause. This episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and quietly hoping it won't catch up with you, we want you to hear this. You're not failing. This is incredibly common for most business owners. Most people don't avoid money because they don't care. They avoid it because it feels heavy, confusing, or stressful. In our free live masterclass, we're going to show you a clear, more supportive way to handle your finances so your business can actually support your life. You can learn more and save your seat at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, and I guess it just depends on how your body reacts to that too, how tolerant it is to those.
None of us should be exposed to toxic mold, but I have the genetics that my immune system does not recognize mold. And so it does not get rid of it. So I have to be doing something to detox to get rid of it. So 25% of the population has that genetics. So those are the people who get sicker in a home. My whole family had those genetics, but I was the sickest of the three of us. But in conventional medicine, this is not something that's even looked at. The environment and our environmental toxins aren't looked at. And 95% of illness is connected to environmental toxins, 50% to mold specifically and water damage. It's a big deal if we're not addressing toxicity in the body. I wish I had known in my 20s to just be doing some things to gently detox my body and be aware of what was coming in. Hair care, skin care, cleaning products. Mold will tip most people's buckets, but some people will get much sicker than others. But it's not really good for anybody to be exposed to toxic mold in their environment at levels that are not safe.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, you just mentioned all the different products that we use every day. I think even toothpaste, can't it?
Oh, yeah, you name it. I think the more I've learned as a health coach, the more we go down that rabbit hole of understanding toxins, it's a little overwhelming. Even when I learned about plastics, I'm like, I go to the grocery store, I have a plastic bag, I put my apples in plastic, everything I buy, my salad is in plastic, everything's in plastic. So the more I learn, it's wow, we're just being exposed to so much more than we realize without even intentionally, right? Being exposed to these toxins. I live off a golf course. If I had known what I know now, I would never live off a golf course because they're spraying chemicals on that grass and it. But I do stuff to detox on a daily basis. So I'm not overly anxious about it. But if I had known better, I might not have chosen to live off the golf course. The scenery is beautiful, but, and I don't walk barefoot on the grass because they spray it with chemicals and I have no grass in my yard. So grass is really cool. But once I learned about glyphosate and chemicals, I'm like, I'm not walking barefoot on the grass anymore.
Oh, people listening are probably thinking, oh no, I have to worry about everything I touch or look at or use on my skin and my body.
Yeah, you take the next step, the one next step that somebody is ready to take and not to get overwhelmed. It took, I'm sure you've done the same thing. It takes years to gradually clean up our skincare, our hair care, whatever we feel led to do. It took me 8, 9 years till everything in my house is now natural, but it didn't happen in a day or in a week. It was just a process over time.
Yeah, that actually brings up a thought about what would be the first thing that someone should do if they're starting to feel unwell, fatigued, things are chronic, they just keep coming back, which could be a sign of that. It may or may not be. But what could be something that, obviously you said test for mold. Are there other things they can do?
You could do a urine test for mold or for toxins in general, like a vibrant tox burden test. It's not going to show body burden. It's going to show what's excreted, what toxins are being excreted in your urine. So sometimes if people are really sick and they're not detoxing, there's not a lot that's going to come out in the urine because it's what's leaving the body. So it's not showing body burden, but that can give people verification that, hey, I've got stuff in my body that needs to leave. I need to be addressing these toxins. People can do simple things to just start to try to detox. If you're eating a lot of processed food, just move to eating fresh, homemade, whole food, right? Some people start to detox just shifting their diet gently. If somebody's already doing that, even just pushing more fruit and vegetables is really key in detox. But listen to your body. I always tell my clients, I went 95% fruit and vegetables. I was so sick to heal. And I did that for years. Now I eat a balanced diet, right? Whole food, fresh food. But I was so toxic that food piece was really key for me to nourish and to get toxins moving out. And that piece I see get missed in the world, right? Telling people how to eat, sometimes the way they're telling people how to eat does not promote detox. And people do have to listen to their body. My husband never did. He didn't do what I did. I did all fruit for 3 months. I went from not walking to walking, but my body was craving fruit, totally different than what I was ever taught as a dietitian, never taught to eat all fruit. But fruit is great at moving the lymph because it's so hydrating to get those toxins out. And it's like the highest form of detox. I was shocked, but I was craving watermelon like an addict. And I had this huge watermelon, sections of it throughout the day, and some superfood shakes for nourishment and amino acids. And I went from walkers and canes to no assistive devices during that time. And I was blown away. And that was just using food. I wasn't using binders. I wasn't using herbs for pathways. I was just using food to support my pathways initially.
That's fantastic. Wow. Amazing. Really have to think about what you're putting on your body and what you're putting in your body, because some bodies can handle things and some can't. At the end of the day, the better you feed yourself. And I love that you just said, stop the process and go natural, because I think a lot of people get obsessed with what portion size should I have and how much can I have of this exactly.
I really learned to eat very intuitively. And I was the dietitian where I gave those meal plans for people. I really just listened to my body, and different seasons of healing require different things. And now that I'm no longer sick, I'm shocked. I wanted to be vegan the rest of my life, but my body's, no, you need protein. And so I'm doing eggs and I'm doing grass-fed, grass-finished meat. I'm a little shocked because I really didn't want to eat meat, but my body's craving it. It's telling me I need it. So I think each person has to listen to their body and what it's telling them. I had a season of a lot of salmon and my husband needed a lot of red meat, and we're different. We're just different. So I really listen to what my clients telling me, because there's not one way for each person. There are principles we have to address for health, but I don't feel like there's one way to eat. I used to, but I don't anymore.
Yeah. I have a really good friend and she teaches classes at the Y. She's tiny, always been tiny, but she went vegan because the meat, every time she ate, she felt sick. And she's, my body just doesn't want it. She said, I didn't want to be a vegetarian. I like a good hamburger now and again. She goes, she listened to her body, just like you said. Wow, this has been so educational, Heather. You're definitely going to have to give us that link for the mold test, because I think people are chomping at the bit now. I got to make sure I figure out if that's what's going on in my house. And then tell us a little bit about, do you have something out this year, if I'm not mistaken?
I have a class called Navigating Mold and CIRS, which is Chronic Inflammatory Response Syndrome. It was designed for practitioners, but we've had patients take it. So it is now evergreen. That is out. But I love doing the classes live and having live Q&A with people.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it too. But it's interesting. You didn't talk a lot about the gut, but I remember I actually saw a program, I think on Netflix or something, that talked about the bacteria in your gut and how, you know, there's good and bad. And it's so important for your whole body.
It is critical. What I will tell you is, one, mold will destroy the gut because mycotoxins destroy the gut. And if the gut isn't healthy, it makes you more open, right, to other pathogens. And I just went through having Giardia and H. pylori, and I am actually still healing from that. It was 6 months of vomiting. It was just miserable. But I have to say, I have such a deeper understanding of gut health. People have to address the root cause. And my gut post Giardia has been really struggling. And I had to do some testing and found that there's some other pathogens that decided to take over in my small and large intestine while I was fighting the Giardia and H. pylori, even though I was taking tons of antimicrobial herbs and some prescriptions. So now I'm dealing with some other pathogens. But if we don't address the root and I'm just treating the symptoms, I wasn't getting better because I had to address these pathogens that I just discovered a few days ago that I'm now treating with herbs. And I've seen a big improvement. Still got a ways to go, but a big improvement in symptoms. But addressing the root is the bottom line. So if people have gut issues, I had SIBO with the Lyme and mold, but everybody was just trying to kill the bacteria in the small intestine. But when you're toxic, those toxins damage the gut, right? Stress can damage the gut, a dysregulated nervous system, the gut's not going to work as well. Even as a coach, I've had to use everything I know to help my gut heal from this post Giardia and H. pylori, and now this new overgrowth of pathogens. It's been a little crazy. It's been almost a full-time job lately, the amount of things I have to do because the Giardia messed up the motility in my gut. So I have to massage my gut and just do all these things. But once somebody understands what's going on, it's much easier to address things properly so that people can get resolution to the bottom line.
Yeah, you're ultimately the perfect person to give advice from somebody who's been there. Sounds like you've been through so much.
I have, and it's been helpful. Right? It's being used to help other people because I can tell you if I hadn't just been through this fun bout of stuff more recently with my gut, I'm getting clients who are having major gut issues. And as soon as I hear their symptoms, I know what's going on. And testing and things like that can help us get a better picture of what's going on, of course, as well. But it's much easier to spot when you've been through it. It's like when you buy a Toyota. And then all of a sudden you see all the Toyotas on the road. I notice when people are being exposed to mold because I recognize it now where it was a rabbit hole I knew nothing about 6 years ago.
Yeah, fascinating. So I know there are people listening who are saying either I can relate to that or I might have some of those symptoms or they know someone who does. So what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
They can either email me at healthcoachingbyheather@gmail.com. Or they can go to my website, which is healthcoachingbyheather.com. They can send me, there's a contact form, or you can sign up for a free complimentary strategy discovery call if you're looking to see if somebody can walk alongside you and help guide you. I'm a functional health coach, so I can order testing if people need testing. Most of those tests aren't covered by insurance, sadly. But if people need testing, their doctors can do that as well.
Heather, we are grateful for people like you helping people who need it. You're brave going through all this and then turning around and helping other people who navigate what's happening in their body. So thank you for that. I have one last question for you. If you could provide one tip to make the world a better place, what would that be?
To make the world a better place, I would say be gracious to yourself and be kind to others. You don't know what others are dealing with when you see their face. You don't know the behind the scenes of their struggles. So give them grace, give them kindness, and test your house for mold. It's like hard not to say that just with what I've been through and what I see with the people I work with. But yeah, we're under a lot of stress, right? In our world today, we're exposed to a lot. So grace and kindness to ourselves and to others goes a really long way.
I love that. Heather Sunderland, I'm so grateful that you joined us and I'm grateful you're on the path to health. And I'm sure that this has been a tremendous help for everyone listening. And I hope that they come your way for help and guidance if they need it. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jeannie, so much for the opportunity to share what I'm so passionate about.
Thanks for joining us today on Blueprints for Brilliance Coaching Insights. We hope you're leaving this episode with inspiration to take your coaching business and your life to the next level. If you found value in this episode, we would love it if you would subscribe and share it with someone else who you think might benefit from hearing it. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode.